everybody if we can get started. It's time for us to get our meeting started here. Thank you very much. I hope we hear from you before the end of the meeting here and give you an opportunity to step back up. The Planning Commission for the City of Rio Grande, our meeting for Tuesday, February 20th, 2018, is called to order. If we can have a roll call, please. Here.
Here.
Here. Here. And if we can all stand and follow Commissioner Shiro in our flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. The agenda review, is there any of my fellow commissioners wish to revise the order of agenda items?
No.
Any other special presentations? I'm not aware of any.
None this evening.
Very good. Thank you. The next item is community comments and suggestions. The public comment period is an invitation to members of the community to present issues, thoughts, and suggestions on matters that are not scheduled on this agenda. Comments should be limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission. The Brown Act restricts the Commission from taking formal action on matters not published on the agenda. The Commission requests that public comment be limited to 3 minutes and be accompanied by the voluntary submittal or speaker slips that I know that are available at the back of the room to help facilitate our organization and the preparation of the minutes. And I understand there may be interest from the public to comment on the medical center on our agenda tonight is the signage program for the medical center. But if there are people that wish to comment on other aspects of the medical center that are not part of the sign program, now is the time to present those comments, because on the agendized time we're going to be focusing on the sign program itself and not other aspects. So if there's anybody in the public, in the community, in the room now that would like to speak on an aspect that is not agendized tonight, now is the appropriate time to express your thoughts. So is there someone that would like to come and speak at the 3-minute approach for the public comments?
My name is Edward Cox, and I reside at 867 Todd Lane, just off within view of the medical center.
Very good.
But my concern and concern for folks on my block and on my street is that the traffic issue that's continually getting worse on the egress of to the hospital, to any place in the neighborhood, that particularly when there's commute time, the traffic backs up all the way from Halcyon Road, clear back down as far as a mortuary on Fair Oaks there, and it's a terrible mess trying to get through the intersection, particularly down by the bridge. The traffic situation is only going to get worse with the number of people that will be going in and out of the medical center. We also experience a great deal of increased traffic on Todd Lane in the morning rush hour, particularly for the high school bound people that taking their children, or even the young people driving to school. Sometimes they're backed all the way up from Fair Oaks around the corner on Todd Lane in front of my house where it is. And the whole issue is really grown traffic-wise in the last few years for a lot of reasons on it. And we've seen traffic backed all the way up from Grand Avenue clear down to the hospital during the commute hours. And consequently, it's very difficult for residents of our street to get back on the main thoroughfares from where we leave. But it's a dangerous situation with the speeding traffic that comes through our neighborhood beginning about 7:30 in the morning. And people drive with no concept of 25 miles an hour through there. And we're encouraged in our neighborhood to consider asking someone for speed bumps installed on the street and or closing off one end of the street on the Fair Oak side of it so we have an opportunity to enjoy our neighborhood. We have children living on our street. Parents are very protective of them, but they can't go out on the street unattended, the little ones out there, just because of the increased traffic. It's not conducive to peace of mind or anything else on that street. It's a bad situation. The police department has installed signs down there to slow the traffic down on a couple of occasions. I'm not sure what the results were, nor do I have I seen any traffic counters out on our street to ascertain the density of the traffic that goes through there. And it's just a difficult situation with noise and everything else on our street. It's only going to get worse because of the increased number of the increased amount of traffic that's going to be going to the medical center. The medical center is a fine building. It has great appearance and all of those things. Nevertheless, there's some 300 parking spots there, so they're going to fill those up one way or the other. They're going to have a lot of in and out traffic on that. A lot of it's going to I call it slop over, if you would, onto Todd Lane through there. And so we're just would like some relief from that situation on our street. And we spoke of the issue before just briefly when the permit was approved for the building of the facility there. But it's we can see the need for a stop sign, if nothing else. Am I time up or something?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and be brief and just wrap up. But go ahead.
We see the need for some type of traffic control down by the Great Bridge across the Arroyo Grande Creek there so that it'll facilitate the flow of traffic from Woodland Drive onto Fair Oaks Avenue. And but our main concern is seeking some avenue to slow down the traffic on Todd Lane, and it's just not a good situation for us there. And if you can provide any advice on how we pursue that matter, we'd appreciate it. So,
okay. Mr. Cox, thank you very much for your comments. As a non-agenda item, we're really limited on what we can say. The best thing I think I can say to you is you are being heard and sincerely being heard. The traffic issues were significantly discussed during that whole approval process, and I know that the city staff that's here tonight and those that are going to be listening to the program will certainly take up your issues and concerns, and
yeah, we'd like
hopefully
to see
get here back
on some formal venue or menu, or you know, to discuss the issue on it and put the case forward to have people working on it, the responsible folks in our city, at the traffic commission or whomever, city staff. We'd just like to know how to do that and pursue that
right
matter.
And your comments tonight are seemingly appropriate and welcomed. My encouragement would be to continue to follow up with staff in order to get a more thorough or a broader response and a more appropriate response. As a public venue, we're very limited in what we can say and respond because it's not agendized.
Can you direct me to a particular staff or department?
I would either go into the planning department or into the building department and go to the counter there at City Hall and just ask for someone either in the planning department or building department, both of which are actively involved in that project.
Okay.
You're welcome. Thank you for your comments. Is there anybody else from the public that would like to speak on an item that is not agendized on tonight's in tonight's meeting? Okay, very good. Seeing none, I'm going to close the public comment period at this point. The next item is written communications or anything that the staff would like to add or needs to be added to our agenda for tonight?
None this evening.
Very good. We do have the consent agenda. We have one item, just the approval of the minutes. Open up to my fellow commissioners for our recommended action. Commissioner Mack, you ready?
I think I'm ready. Well, just one discussion item, and that was regarding, and maybe you can bring it to my memory again, on the resolution of Planning Commission of City of Rio Grande for the lot merger. I think it was item number five. Yes, five. It had spoke to about the parking on Fay Lane, the inclusion of a 30-minute limited parking. I just want to see if the other planning commissioners recall that as well. I know we wanted to sign it and provide by permit only with the residents of the neighborhood. I can't recall the 30-minute sign.
I thought we suggested that it be permit parking only on both sides.
Resident only.
On both sides, and then maybe employee parking by permit on that side of Fay Lane.
But I think, Glenn, I think we said no to the employee.
Yeah.
Just because we don't.
That was what we discussed,
right.
But I think we did say both sides of Fay.
Yeah, my recollection is that both sides of Fay were going to be permitted.
Right.
And limited to the residents.
Certainly. So if I may comment on that, the item on page 3, number 5, that Commissioner Mack identified, the original motion that was made did include the 30-minute restriction on the north side. When the commission did have their discussion, then we revised that condition to say, coordinate with the planning and police departments to evaluate limiting parking on Fay Avenue to resident only with parking permits or other alternative parking schemes. And so that was, if you'll recall, Community Development Director McClish pointed out that any recommendation on limiting street parking, we would feel more comfortable getting a weigh-in from the police department on that.
So the way, but the way it's written in the minutes here, and I think this is what Commissioner Mack is referring to, it appears as if we approved a 30-minute limit on there, but in reality, what you're saying here, the minutes are reflecting a discussion on a 30-minute limit, but the conclusion that was drawn and approved in the vote was giving the police department and the planning staff the discretion to evaluate that and to approve that?
To at least forward that recommendation and discussion on to the council with some weigh-in from the
very
police
good. On to the council as part of their deliberations.
Correct.
If we
very
could
good.
Just have that as part of the minutes, because
sure.
What's confusing for me is our vote is right after the language as if we voted on that. It's on page 4, item 5. And then it says the motion passed on the following roll call. So if we can just include that language.
Yeah, just, I think probably just expand item 5 to include the parking as a limited time parking and permitted parking to be included as a discussion item for the city council. Is that appropriate? I don't want to be overstepping what we just said. But
no, certainly. So I believe what we can probably do is add the words for city council consideration after the language parking schemes in number 5 of page 4.
Very well.
That sounds satisfying. Does that sound better, Mr. Mack? Very good. Okay. Are there any other changes that people have identified in the minutes from the last meeting? Can we have a motion to approve the minutes?
Chair, I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Okay.
Can we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Feller Payne?
Yes.
Chair Martin?
Yes.
Okay, can I bring something up on that since we did on that one?
Well, okay.
The one that was right above it, when it has to return to the Architectural Review Committee for the final design, can that parking issue be resolved prior to going back? And
I think that's
at the same time.
I think that's the intent, but
okay.
I don't think parking is really under the purview of the architectural review. I think parking would be more under the traffic. But
okay.
I think
I
the intent was to have that reviewed and evaluated before City Council
right.
Reviewed the project
right.
And agendized that project.
That's correct.
Yes, so it'll all go together.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, very good. Great. All right, we have two public hearing items tonight. The first one is a consideration of a planned sign program 17002 at 850 Fair Oaks Avenue. Can we have our staff report on that, please, at this point?
Certainly. Thank you, Chair Martin, members of the Commission. So our planning technician, Sam Anderson, will be giving the staff presentation tonight. As you did point out earlier in the meeting, we are looking at the sign program itself this evening for the Medical Office Center. It is an entitled project, and if there are any other comments regarding that project, I did provide my card to the folks in the audience. Feel free to contact me after the meeting. But for now, kicking on over to Sam to go through the sign program.
Very good. Thank you very much.
There we are. Good evening, Commissioners. This is consideration of Plan Sign Program 17002. This is for new signage for the Matthew Will Memorial Medical Center. So this project is located over at 850 Fair Oaks Avenue. It's zoned office mixed use. This project is under construction right now, as I'm sure everyone here is very aware. Surrounding land uses do include existing medical development and then single-family homes. So a little bit of background on the structure. It was approved back on January 6th, 2016. It's an approximately 45,000 square foot medical office building. And as part of that original entitlement, they didn't have signs designed at that time. So they're now coming forward as a planned sign program. Just for a little bit of background, the purpose of a planned sign program, especially in a case like this, is to ensure compatibility and consistency within a development and provide a degree of flexibility for projects that don't fall into typical project molds, such as a structure of this scale. So as you can see here, based on current Arroyo Grande Municipal Code standards, the various signs proposed are non-conforming. We have two monument signs, each at 125 square feet for a total of 250, an office identification wall sign, which is larger than typically would be allowed, vehicle directional ground signs, and then a few different directory signs. And these are all non-conforming for various reasons spelled out in the staff report. The monument signs typically are limited to 70 square feet and are located at about 125. The office identification wall sign is typically limited to 12 square feet and is proposed at 59, but we'll be going through these signs a little bit and sort of justifying why for a project of this scale that it makes sense to design in this scale, I would say. So just a quick purview here, you see the monument signs. They will be identical, located on the two Bear Oaks facing corners of the project. As I said, they're about 125 square feet, but if you look at the sign, really the text of it, typically the part we view most impactful of a sign, is only about 43, 45 square feet total of sign text. The rest is a more attractive backing to it. While a sign like this could be limited to just the text and technically perhaps meet the 70 square feet standard, it would just create a less visually attractive sign while not reducing the impact created by the text. You see here the office identification wall sign. We have coming up a bit later a comparison of what a 12 square foot sign would look like on a structure of this scale, but you can see here placed on scale of the structure at 59 square feet. It makes sense. It's going to be visible from the street without being overbearing. And then we're just going to go through a couple of the directional signs real quick. Again, for a project like this with the hospital already existing in the new complex center, there's more directional, more navigational signs needed than would typically be required in a small shopping center. So you see here, this is the vehicle directional sign splitting between the two portions of the project, and then some pretty basic tenant directory signs. If you would notice on the building itself, besides the small directory signs, there's not large wall signs advertising each space. Instead, we're creating a much more limited visual impact within the center by focusing on these tenant directory signs instead. So this is the ground-mounted sign, and then you can see here, almost identical, the wall-mounted sign, just on a wall, of course, as opposed to being having the post sticking up. So in terms of comparisons with the standards, our sign code really isn't written, like I've said, with a project of this scale in mind, i.e. the office identification signs being limited to 12 square feet. It's a little bit small on the screen, but you can see in illustration B and D sort of what a 12-square-foot sign would look like on structures of these scale and how it's really not feasible. And then the 59-square-foot sign says 62, but the sign is 59 square feet up there, looking much more proportional. So this project was reviewed by the Staff Advisory Committee on the 17th of January, and there were no comments recommended as approval. And then the Architectural Review Committee has also seen this back on the 5th, and they complimented the thought-out design, the color scheme, and the proportionate scale of the signage, and also recommended it as for approval as submitted. In terms of environmental review, it has been reviewed under CEQA, and new signage is exempt. The public hearing was published in the Tribune. The agenda was posted in accordance with the government code, and we haven't received any comments on it. So it's recommended that the Planning Commission adopt the prepared resolution approving Plan Sign Program 17-002. And I'm happy to answer any questions you have for staff at this time.
Very good. Thank you very much, Mr. Anderson. Are there any questions of staff on the staff presentation on this proposal? Commissioner Mack, go ahead.
I always have questions. On the illuminated sign C that's going to be on the building, it's backlit with an LED light. Is that on all night long throughout the evening, or is it shut off at any particular time?
You know, I would defer to that question to the applicant.
Okay. Next question. Has Traffic Commission looked at the placement of the monument signs in relationship to the roads?
The Traffic Commission has not looked at the signs, but our engineering department, who does review things such as vision triangles and things like that, have seen these plans and have no issues with them.
Because that's one thing I don't see on the plan is the vision triangles, and I know we have city standards and line of sight. And for the height of these signs, you're not going to be able to see through them, obviously, to see oncoming traffic. So it'd be imperative to make sure that that meets our engineering standards. Thank you. That's it.
Commissioner Fowler-Payne, do you have questions for staff?
Well, I had the first one was I wanted to know also whether the lights were going to remain on after business hours. But the other one, on the monument sign, at the bottom where it says 850 Fair Oaks, it doesn't say Avenue. Shouldn't it have that on there? Because that's what that street name is, Fair Oaks Avenue.
While it perhaps may be more accurate to say that, I don't believe we would have any. We can definitely make that suggestion to the applicant, but I would not be familiar with any requirement for them to do so, no.
Well, that area used to be unincorporated area called the town of Fair Oaks. So to me, having Avenue on there historically clears that up. Other than that, I just too was curious if that sign is going to stay on late. You have residents across the street from that, so it might be an obstruction of their view to have those lights on it.
We'll give the applicant an opportunity to answer that and address that, I'm sure.
And actually, I can weigh in on that as well. There is a standard in the municipal code that requires lighting if the business is closed to be turned off at 10 p.m. If the businesses remain open past 10 p.m., the lights can stay on, sign lights can stay on until they close for the evening. So that addresses that.
Mr. Shirer, do you have any questions? I don't have any questions. Is the applicant, I invite the applicant to come up and just, obviously there's a couple small questions that appear to need to be addressed. If there are any other comments that you would like to make at this point.
Hello, my name is Sean. Southpaw Sign Company. I helped the applicant put together the sign program for this property. Line of sight triangle. I would imagine that if we don't clear that at this point, that moving to make sure that's accommodated is not an issue to meet the requirements for that. Lights on all night. 10 p.m. We would just follow the program of whatever the city code is. That particular wall sign is an indirect halo light to the wall that I believe is a rough surface. So the forward projecting lumens from that sign will be almost zero up until 10 p.m. where it would go off by code. The avenue on the address is not a problem. I was not familiar with the town of Fair Oaks, but it's not a problem to add it. Other than that, when we put together the needs for this building, it's obvious that there is nothing to go by in the area other than the hospital next door. So we followed suit on what would be standard in a safety issue of the hospital and what was next door as an example that has worked for quite a while at Dignity Health. But we have brought mostly smaller signs and much better looking signs than what is existing out there. So the two monument signs, they measure out to a larger square footage if you include the walls that we've included to hold the text, while the text are fairly small square footage here. Both of these signs in the drawings look like they are projecting up in a line of sight. In the actual property, they will be within the landscape and within the grade, so they won't be sticking up over anything, so they will have a lot smaller visual impact or footprint than they appear in the drawings. If we go to the building sign, sign C, I believe, 59 square feet here. This one was scaled to look appropriate to the building for readability. We have a very neutral satin silver finish on here, which fits into our building colors and is appropriate for a medical building, but it's very subtle in its effect up there. In lieu of having an indefinite amount of tenants move in and ask for wall signs, the landlord has opted to not give anybody a wall sign, which is unusual. And so the tenants we know will get people to their medical offices by saying we are in the Matthew Will Medical Building. And so the importance of recognizing the name around the scale of this property is what we've focused on. And so we've got a lot of square footage compared to other things. What's normally in the village, we're comparable square footage to the comparable property. And this plan reduces the amount of square footage by not allowing any of the tenants to have individual signage. There was mention earlier regarding traffic. We've put together the components that are needed to get people here. So our vehicle entry signs that we're looking at, which is back a couple of pages here, what we want to do is get cars to pull in, immediately know how to get into one of the parking lots, and not create an issue of cars coming in and stopping up traffic at the entry along Fair Oaks Boulevard. It's just a necessary sign to help people designate to get their cars out of the way. At each of the public entrances, we've allowed for tenant signage. There's a wall sign because there's a wall available by that entrance. There's landscaping in the main entrance. That's why that one comes close to pedestrian traffic and is on post. But other than that, they're identical signs. We have written the sign program so that all tenants are required to use the same font and color for cleanliness here. And also that allows us to minimize the amount of space we need on these signs. And the idea with these is that people can get in, go to the right parking lot, see that their doctor's in there before they get out of the car. Make sure we don't have people walking to the wrong building, particularly people that might not walk so well. outside of this, that's all the signs. And we did put in a sample in there of what a 12-square-foot sign looks like on a big building, and that kind of sums it up. And you can see in illustration C that even more than the line drawing, the mass of that building and that 59 square feet seems very appropriate. So if there's any other questions, I'd be happy to address them.
Any questions? Any question of the applicant at this point? Commissioner Mack?
Very good presentation. Because one of the questions I was going to ask is why isn't the tenant's signage inside the building so you know where to go when you get in? But, for circulating in the parking lot and understanding that your doctor's there, understood. I heard you at the beginning saying that you're flexible over the location of those monument signs on the corner to be able to move that further into the project. I'm trying to determine where the property line is. Is it on in the city right away? Specifically where it says sign B on the right. Looks like the property line might be behind the sign.
No, that's a setback.
That's a setback line?
Line is that heavy line in front of
working very well.
Is that what the sidewalk is,
though? So I'm mainly concerned about that sign. You've got a retaining wall in the back, and then there's a no man's land between that and the monument sign. And you know, we need to give those people the best possibility coming out of those condominiums there, those homes, and being able to see right as they come out on the Fair Oaks. So if there's no objection from the applicant, maybe because there's no dimensions on the plan, so it's hard to discern where it's at. Right now we're just approving it wherever it may lay, and I'm thinking we can do better and put a dimension on there and make sure it's out of the line of sight.
Absolutely. I think unless there's something I've missed from the architect's office, that if it is worded in a way that the standard site triangle safety parameters are followed for those signs, we're not asking to move into them in any way.
I'm going to throw some more information out, but thank you for answering my question.
Okay. Any other? Do you have any questions?
Well, I was just wondering where the sign is that he's talking about. Is that
sign B?
Where's the sidewalk in relationship to that?
It's on the other side of that dark line.
On the street side. Okay, that was it.
All right. Okay. I don't have any more questions at this point.
Thank you.
Okay. Before we vote, are there any kind of comments that the commissioners would like to?
Well, we need to have a public.
My apologies. This is the appropriate time. We're going to open this to the public. If the public has comments that they would like to make concerning the sign program here for that hospital. So anybody that, if you filled out a sign slip, are there sign slips there in the lobby to fill out? But if you don't mind filling one of those out, but you're welcome to come up and.
And Chair Martin, if I may,
yes.
While we're waiting on the speaker slips to come in to address Commissioner Mack's question. So when the building permit plans come in for the building permit for the ground signs, that's when engineering also takes a look to make sure that all of the footings and all the necessary construction documents show that that's outside of the required vision triangle for that street-to-street intersection. So that will be reviewed by the engineering department when the building permit comes in. Just FYI.
So on that note, it may meet the site triangle they might have on the books, but I also know that those site triangles also take in the rate of speed in which you're traveling along Fair Oaks. And I don't think it's in our standard, and it really needs to be looked at by the Traffic Commission and or a traffic individual to know what that is. Also, if I recall, when we reviewed the project and the traffic that could possibly happen off of Woodland, I believe there is a mechanism for possible signalization in the future. And if that's true, I know those radiuses get really torn up and ripped up. Mm-hmm. And if the city has to start ripping up parts of a monument sign, that would be an issue for the city to put the undergrounds in for a traffic signal or anything like that. So I'm thinking ahead mm-hmm. of the game, not only from a visual standpoint, but from a constructability standpoint in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the discretion of the commission if you'd like to push that further into the site closer to that retaining wall. Absolutely. I just wanted to clarify that engineering will be looking at that.
But we need to look at other things, and not just the engineering and the dotting the I and the crossing of the T.
There you go.
We're ready for you. Just hand it to the staff, please. They can do what they need to do, and then they'll hand it to me.
Actually, I have a question for the sign person, more than anything, if I may.
If you don't mind introducing, this is a three-minute approach.
Okay.
If you introduce yourself. And
My name is Nancy Payne. I work for Marion Regional Medical Center, their home health and hospice agency. And when I moved the home health and hospice department to the Sisters Hospital on College Drive, I had to get my signage approved by the Central Coast Marketing Department director. I'm wondering if she has vetted this sign. They have very, very, very specific signage requirements. And my concern is whether or not this meets that. I mean, I don't know if it does, but I know for me I had to redesign the sign 3 or 4 times so it would meet their, pardon me, their requirements.
Why don't you go up? It's a little bit unusual. The sign criteria, this is for the city permit approval. This is not an individual tenant that's coming in where it is Dr. Glenn Martin, for example, saying, I want a blue sign on the front of the building and I have certain specific criteria. This is a sign program for the building as
this,
a whole.
This problem I had when I moved the home health and hospice agency was the monument sign out in the front.
Well, at this point, the monument sign is not going to allow the inclusion of any individual tenant on that sign.
So. Right, but they still have very, very specific guidelines for their monument signs. Dignity Health does. So,
well, I'm just.
So I don't know.
I don't know either. And
at
some level, I think it may be outside the purview of the if you don't come up and just, you know, let's just invade this a little bit, but.
So we do a ton of Dignity Health signage, and we have their entire sign program. And so this particular sign is not a Dignity Health sign. It is a building sign that's separate from Dignity. There is a small panel on the wall signs, the 2 entry signs, that allow for a major tenant application in a very small square footage, in which case the Dignity Health program and their protocol would be used to fit into that criteria. And anywhere else they go within the building, it would be followed separate from this sign program.
Okay.
If that's enough.
Well, hopefully that's very good. That answers your question. I have one. Lee, is it Horner or Herner? You're welcome to approach here, please. Thank you.
Pardon me? Real quick question
here. Yeah, I'm sorry. You need to introduce yourself
okay.
as part
Hi,
of the protocol.
I'm Lee Herner. I live on Todd Lane. And I just am concerned about the issue on the well, we'll get to the street later, but the signage on the building right now. The signage that is on the side of the building. I saw it in the illustration C and illustration.
Excuse me, Mr. Herner.
Here.
Mr. Yeah. Herner, you need to be addressing us, you know,
okay.
not the applicant, because
okay.
this
well,
is
the
planning commission
it,
here.
The illustration here is. Showing there were 2 pictures, 1C and 1D, and one looked bigger than the other one. All right. D is smaller than C. My question here is you're looking at C as the picture that we're as the sign?
Correct.
Okay.
The way it's being submitted by the applicant is that the picture, the illustration you see on D meets the established city code, but is too small to really be functional. They were showing that as just as a comparison.
Okay.
And illustration photos A
well,
show the existing
see,
on the
yeah.
hospital, and C is the illustration of that they are proposing for that building.
Okay. And this is, so your part of your process here is to approve that signage?
Is to evaluate the appropriate size and location of that signage.
Right, okay.
And the program itself.
Okay. My question here really has to do with the elimination of that sign. Is that sign going to be eliminated? That sign? Going to be eliminated?
What has been described by the applicant is it's going to have an LED backlit illumination. So it's more of a shadow illumination.
A shadow illumination, okay.
Correct.
And that'll be killed at 10 o'clock?
That's my understanding, yes.
And is this building going to be used for any emergency center for the hospital in any way?
I think that's outside of our purview here tonight, but that's something you can certainly approach with staff.
The only reason I'm asking is because that would dictate the sign being on all night as opposed to being turned off with normal business hours kind of thing.
And I, you know, you're welcome to ask that question. We're not in a position to answer that question
okay.
tonight, so.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mr. Cox.
Just to adding to my previous remarks, the access to this center from Fair Oaks Avenue, when you're going towards the high school through the intersection there, that's a real choke point right there. It will only compound our problem of traffic on Todd Lane access to Fair Oaks Avenue. It's not a good situation in mid-block with no controls on access from the northbound lane. And I just want to register that comment because that situation will exacerbate our problem of traffic on Todd Lane in a lot of ways.
Very good. Thank you very much. And any other comments that pertain to the signage on this particular project? We do appreciate the comments here. The public is welcome. Sometimes the process can be cumbersome because people aren't familiar with all of the protocols that come along with the public commission and the hearings of this kind. At this point, I'm going to close the public comment period. At this point, Commissioner Mack, I think it's appropriate for me to return it to my fellow commissioners if you have any kind of other additional questions or comments before we solicit for a motion. Commissioner Fowler Payne, do you have any comments you want to make at this point?
No.
Okay.
No.
Commissioner Mack?
Well, I'd like to make a couple comments, and my understanding that this is a medical office building. It is not a hospital that's providing services 24/7. When we approved it, it was an office building, so I would expect there'd be office hours, and I did raise the question of the lighting on that sign, and my concern has been addressed and satisfied in terms of that light cutting off when the building shuts down. And whether that's 5 p.m., 6 p.m., or 10 p.m., I think that's satisfactory. The issue I have is the location of the monument sign, how big it is. And being so close to that intersection, I feel, because there's no dimensions there, that we're crowding that corner. And I know a number of the cars, just not from the residents, but coming out of the parking lot itself and coming down Woodland, you're going to have cars stacking up along Woodland Drive. I think that needs to be tucked as close as possible to the retaining wall as possible. You're still going to see it. It's a big sign. I don't think it needs to be as close to the sidewalk as illustrated, shown as sign B. Sign A, I think that's reasonably close in screening the parking lots, and I think it works there for different reasons. But just on the amount of traffic that's going to be coming out of Woodland, again, I really think that we need to push that back for future development of that intersection, and those are my comments.
Very good. Thank you. Commissioner Shiro?
I would just defer to... So I just want to... Can I ask him some questions? Are we in conversation mode right now?
We're in conversation mode.
Okay. So are you saying, forget what the engineering and traffic circle, put it as close to the retaining wall as possible, and then...
Well, yeah, and I have different reasons for that, because it ends up becoming a dead man zone. You have a retaining wall, and then you don't have any beautiful landscaping behind it. We're not seeing any then you...
And you're probably talking, what, like 8 feet?
No, to me, where the retaining wall is shown, each one of those stalls are 20 feet deep. And it looks like you can park an entire car 20 feet. It looks like it's 20 feet from the retaining wall. Just based on scale on a parking stall. So you have 20 feet between the two walls. And the last thing you want to do is create a homestay for someone to start, you know, hanging out behind a sign. This is a long monument sign. It's 25 feet long.
It can't be pushed back and become a part of that wall at the back of the parking?
Yeah, ideally it would be nice to just put the signage on the retaining wall. but maybe the materials don't lend itself to the wall that's already there. You need a vertical surface. But I think it needs to integrate with the retaining wall and not create a dead zone.
So you're just saying that you're thinking as close as possible to that wall?
Yes.
Or attached to it. Doesn't give you any kind of elevations on there, so you don't know what the slope. I mean, we've had it before, but we don't in this package.
Can we ask the applicant what they might think of that?
Well, let me make my comments, and we'll fire away at that and see kind of where we're at. I tend to agree with Commissioner Mack on this. Generally, I don't like micromanaging a project, but I do think, particularly on this corner where sign B is, that retaining wall that's there is a fairly significant sized retaining wall. And from my eyeball look, it does appear that the sign B could be literally as much as 20 feet in front of that retaining wall, although the scale is difficult given the size of the drawings that we have. My thought, and Mr. Mack, you know, think about this. I'm wondering if we could approve that where that sign is no more than 10 feet in front of that retaining wall. That would cut that distance in half and give them some flexibility if they wanted to be 3 feet or 4 feet in front of that. The biggest difference to me is just that we'd require to have some low landscaping in front so the landscaping doesn't grow up, you know, to block that sign. Because I have an issue, I think, with the hospital on the corner and even over at the high school with the Clark Center Theater, what happens is the bushes tend to start growing above the signage that they have that sits fairly low and defeats the purpose of having a nice, significant, inviting sign at that corner. But I do agree with you. I think whether it's future development or just, I'll say, view shed for the drivers coming off of Woodland, I'd be in favor of, you know, having that monument sign say no more than 10 feet in front of that, if we can put a definition, if that would be helpful or appropriate, I think, in your case. I think those are
I think that helps to identify some scale where there's no scale present. So I like that idea.
Okay. Give a little bit of the unique circumstance and just the nature of trying to get something approved here.
That's fine.
Is that an issue? Do you see that? Do you see where on the drawing it appears it could be as much as 20 feet in front of that retaining wall?
Yes. And they're just discussing this. There's not a problem to move that back, particularly to meet any, like I said, the safety triangles that are available. We're just looking at the plans. The only thing that's existing that limits that is there is a catch basin that's installed that if we go back a full 10 feet, it looks like right now that would put us right on top of it. But if we were to move back the amount that would be reasonable to get our foundation per code towards that basin, it seems to me right now, looking at the scale on this drawing, it looks like we're 20 feet from the front of the curved curve, which probably puts us 35 feet from where I believe you would measure a site triangle from, which would put us way out of the site triangle. So we'd be happy to move it back as far as we can. And however you guys want to word that to make it
appropriate,
make it comfortable for you guys. Yeah. But there is plans that show the catch basin that's existing.
Is already that catch basin sits underneath that retaining wall or in front of that retaining wall? Is that the way it is at this point, part of that? Very good. Well, it's certainly not my intention to be putting a foundation into the middle of a retention basin.
Catch basin, yeah. I've just worded as move that back as far as feasibly possible without footings creating any hardship.
So to include that in your motion then? When we
yeah.
Fire away then. Why don't you make a little more formalized motion on that to include that?
No more other discussion?
Is there any more discussion? I don't want to be over-discussing this. We don't need to.
None other than I'd like to see Avenue added to Fair Oaks.
Very good.
Well, then I move that we approve the consideration of plan sign program 17002. Two new monument signs, one new wall sign, one new vehicle directional sign, and two new direct signs for a new medical center, location 850 Fair Oaks Avenue. Applicant, Triple P LLC. In addition to that, to modify the avenue, the word avenue?
Yes.
Yes. And then also to move sign B as close as possible to the retaining wall without hindering construction of the footing for the monument sign with the existing catch basin.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay.
Questions? Can I get a clarification on the motion for item number one, adding avenue to the address, full word avenue, or is Ave acceptable as well?
What's on the sign out there for Fair Oaks Avenue? Isn't it abbreviated as AB?
I believe it's just AB.
Yeah, that would be acceptable.
Abbreviation would be satisfactory. We have a motion and a second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Not except I have just a question. Who is Matthew Will? Is anybody?
I think Matthew Will is the son of one of the developers, and there's a tribute. He passed away a few years ago. He was a teenager. I don't remember the circumstances around his passing, but it's a tribute to the son of one of the developers, naming the building after his son.
I was just curious because I'm sure other people are going to ask the same question.
It wouldn't surprise me that there's going to be a plaque or some kind of presentation in the lobby that will identify young Mr. Will and the impact that he had on his family and the community in the short years that he was able to be with us. I actually knew Matt when he was a young boy, so I knew a little bit. I know a little bit of the story. Anyway, we have a motion and a second on the floor. Without any further discussion, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Feller Payne?
Yes.
Chair Martin?
Yes. Motion passes. The program has been approved. Proceed. Good luck and carry on.
Why didn't you tell me who Matthew Will was when I asked?
Pardon?
I asked that before you even started. Who was Matthew Will?
I didn't. Anyway, let's move on. We got another agenda item on here. We have another sign program, consideration of plan sign program 18001. This is a revision to an existing plan sign program at the East Grand Avenue and Elm Street Shopping Center. The applicant is Jennifer Daw. Mr. Anderson, may we have a staff report on this item, please?
Yes, so this is consideration of plan sign program 18-001, another plan sign program tonight, a revision to existing sign program for the Arroyo Grande Shopping Center. So a little bit of background. You guys have seen this project a couple times in the last few years. It's located at 1221 East Grand Avenue. That's a gateway mixed use. And surrounding land uses include other commercial development and then single-family homes. So a little bit of background. This is a shopping center that's recently undergone a pretty major facelift, including originally planned sign program 13001 being approved by Resolution 4528 by the City Council for signage for the Arroyo Grande Shopping Center. It's been modified a few times since then, most recently June of 2016, and is now back in front of you. As stated before, the purpose of plan sign program is to ensure compatibility and consistency within a development. So this proposal is sort of a two-part project under one plan sign program. The first, more significant portion in front of you is to modify plan sign program 13001 to permit the installation of two wall signs for building pad E, which is an increase from the one wall sign currently permitted. So to permit the installation of two new 70-square-foot wall signs, the plans you have in front of you do show those at 75 square feet. In interest in saving paper and saving the applicant time, they've been informed that those are going to be conditioned to be reduced to 70. They're fully aware of that, but we just wanted to make that clear because they are drawn on the entitlement to 75, and that will be corrected at a later time. So you can see here where the two signs are proposed to be located, and we have a bit of a larger picture for you here. They're being proposed to be located on those two towers. You may notice that there are also a few architectural renovations being proposed. In looking at these, staff found these to be in substantial compliance with what was approved previously. So the minor architectural review renovations they're proposing aren't really under review, but I should point them out. The tower being lifted slightly and then the doorway being shifted in location. But you see the two signs. rectangular signs to be conditioned to 70 square feet, stating the business's name. You can see the yellow, the orange, and the blue, and then the lighter blue and the white font showing the brand name. You see here, I apologize for this being black and white, but you've seen the colors on the previous page. Simple signs, rectangular. So this was reviewed back in November 1st of 2017, and no concerns were expressed besides sizing the signs down to the 70 square feet, as we've talked about, and the Architectural Review Committee did see this just recently on the 5th, again recommended as submitted. They liked the proportional design and found that the additional signage was warranted due to the low set corner location of the tenant space. So this was reviewed in regards to CEQA, regarding new construction on the premise sign, if it's exempt. And then public hearing was published in the Tribune and City Hall. No comments have been received, and the project sign posting you guys are familiar with is not required for planned sign programs. So it's recommended that the Planning Commission adopt the prepared resolution approving Plan Sign Program 18001, and I'm happy to answer any questions you guys have at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. I know that in addition to the change, the increase for the market that's going into that location, there were four or five other just minor wording issues that were going into that sign program that were identified in our notes that you did not include in this. And for me, that's fine. These are very, very minor and typically just important to those that are involved within the project and are not impacted by either lighting or other issues, you know, with the community and access and egress at large. Are there questions for the staff from the commissioners on this program at this point? Commissioner Shower, do you have any questions?
No questions.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
None at this time.
Mr. Matt?
No questions.
Would the applicant like to step forward and make any kind of comments or add anything that we might be missing at this point on your request at this, you know, with this project?
No, nothing particular to add.
If you don't mind introducing yourself, I'm sorry.
Yep, my name is Jeffrey Luna. I'm the Director of Real Estate with Aldi here for California. I don't want to say local resident, but California resident in San Diego area. This will actually be the first store on the Central Coast, so we're pretty excited about that. And we seem to be getting a significant amount of community support as we're kind of out and about. I do actually have a family member that lives in Grover Beach who's also sharing that with me. But, as kind of the major anchor to that site there, we'll have the largest square footage of any other tenant, so we found it important as we're coming in as a new market to the area to make sure that we have the ability to have brand recognition, brand identity by having the two signs on the larger tower and then the smaller tower. But we're looking forward to being a part of Phil's project, and the center looks fantastic.
Very good. Thank you very much. Before you step away, is there any questions for the applicant from the commissioners at this point?
I just have one question.
Sure.
Where you're going to put the sign on the tallest tower, and I don't know, I didn't pull out the old plans. Is that a window that it's going to be
covering?
Yeah, or illuminating?
There is a lighted section right there,
right.
And so we will be covering. It's kind of a small rectangular section. We will be covering that up. Both of these signs are backlit.
And it showed on the original plan where that there was a it looked like another light below it over the door. Or I guess that's a door.
I don't think so.
Right there.
Oh, that elevation was a previously proposed elevation.
So you're not going to have the light there?
We don't plan
either
to put that light there, no.
Okay.
I see what you're saying, like right above the barn door.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. So that light isn't going to be there as...
It's not there presently, no.
That's all I have to say.
Okay. Any questions for the applicant? Commissioner Mack? Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
I'm going to open it to the public, but there is no public actually sitting in the room. So unless Mr. Fontes wants to be part of the public tonight and step up to the dais.
I have nothing to add. Happy to answer your questions.
I will from a formal standpoint, I will open the public comment period and close the public comment period all in one big breath here. And with that public comment period being closed, are there any other comments or questions from the commissioners before I call for a motion on this item?
I like the comment, so I'm going to go ahead. Thank you, staff, for attachment number one, because it definitely puts in perspective what it is that we're viewing tonight. Too often we look at a presentation like this that's very one-dimensional in an elevation, and you're seeing the square footage of this sign. But the sign is really being visited or seen upon from East Grand Avenue. And these buildings are behind Five Guys and behind a couple other buildings, and there is really a need for bigger signage and identification, or at least some signage that you can read from East Grand Avenue to know what it is. So this, you know, in the future, if we can have more exhibits like this in the future, bring them, because it's really helpful, and this helps us in terms of seeing the scale of how it's going to be seen from East Grand Avenue. So I have no issues with the signs that are proposed.
And just as a matter of addition, there is an existing monument sign that Aldi's name will be on, that's on Grand Avenue, two signs already. That part of the sign program that's previously been approved, and so there will be some signage available, their name recognition on the street. It's not going to be tall and things like that. And I know that monument sign on the street, I think, is fairly low. People will be able to see the Aldi sign from the street before they even get into the parking lot. But I agree with Commissioner Mack that this building is far back in the corner, and having two signs on the side of that building will be helpful. Any other comments? Commissioner Fowler Payne, do you have anything that you'd like to add before?
None.
I just have a quick comment on overall. I think both of these presentations point out something that I've experienced firsthand, that, and I know that our sign codes are going to be addressed and made a little bit more user-friendly. But when you don't take into consideration where the people are looking from and that distance, the sizes can get really funky, and that's what we saw with the last one, where you had this little, it looked like a postage stamp that nobody could read. And so I just like to encourage staff that when we do visit that sign code rewrite, for lack of a better word, that it would include some ratios of predominantly where people are seeing it from, and that also would determine what size it would be. That's my only comment. I think it looks great.
The only comments that I'm going to make, and I am in the commercial real estate world professionally, providing some flexibility to the management to implement and customize the smaller signs within the project, I think is an appropriate transition or appropriate change to make. So I'm in full support of those little. They may be modest, but they can help clarify the needs of particular tenants at specific times. The only, I guess, I'll just leave that. I'll leave that at that name. I'm going to entertain a motion that for approval on this item.
I'll move to approve a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Arroyo Grande approving Plan Sign Program 18001, located at 1221 East Grand Avenue, applied for by Jennifer Dahl.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
And Chair Martin?
Yes. And this item passes. Thank you very much for coming tonight. And carry on. Look forward to having your business open in the community. And our next item, we have a few more items here. We have non-public hearing items. There are none. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And then item 10, a notice of administrative decisions. Apparently there have been none in the last 2 weeks.
None, yes, correct.
I'm not going to ask if the staff has not been doing anything at all in the last 2 weeks, but at least they have not been making administrative decisions in the correct. process of their daily duties here. And any other commission communications, any comments from the planning commissioner that they'd like to share at this point in the meeting?
I just have one question. Did we not get a list of who was supposed to be attending the HRC and ARC meeting? Last year we had a list that designated days.
Great question. We will look into that for the next meeting.
I just see it come up. And.
Or if you can do an email to all the planning commissioners with that list, that would be helpful, too.
Yeah, I think that would be satisfactory. Anything else you would like to add at this point?
No.
Any staff communications?
Certainly. So, yes, we have not been sitting on our hands. We've been processing things, just nothing has been decided, as you mentioned. Wanted to give you a quick update. Parking study, so as we've talked about a number of different times, that was folded into the efforts on East Grand Avenue and taking a look at how parking impacts development, how development impacts parking, et cetera, et cetera. So they've been, I've seen some of the works and emails and things that are going around, so I know that's progressing forward. As I've mentioned before, we are still talking about having a joint workshop with the City Council to go over some of their preliminary findings on that item. That might be troubled by all of the budget discussions that the Council's having at this current moment in time, so trying to schedule that might take more effort than we might be able to nail down. So still looking at that, still would like to get you something preliminarily, but we'll have to wait and see how that unfolds. And I can't recall, because I left at the end of the meeting, at the last meeting, if there was an update on the Jim Guthrie Community Service Grant Program or not. However, that is scheduled to go to the City Council on March 13th for their consideration at that time. So Commissioner George, who is not here this evening, was your representative on that ad hoc committee. So the recommendations are being forwarded to the City Council. And that's staff's comments for this evening.
Very good.
I had a couple comments I just wanted to make with staff. Obviously, we have a lot of time tonight. Last time we met, we didn't have that much time. We're going to darn near midnight. The thrust of my comment is when we're evaluating the agendas and whatnot, is there a way we can spread the bigger ones out further? Because we even have cancellation notices at the Planning Commission meeting, and tonight would have been a fantastic time to do that affordable project because we have 3-4 hours left on the clock. So I don't know how you'd go about preparing the agenda, but what is probably going to be helpful for us, too, is maybe put, and I've seen this on other agendas, like for the county, for example, they'll say, well, we think this item's going to take 45 minutes or an hour and a half. It gives us a better idea, too, if we know how complicated it might be, if you give us an estimate of time also in the agenda.
Certainly. So I can address both of those. Well, I've always wondered how they judge how long an item's going to take. I've made that inquiry, and I never get a solid answer. So I'll definitely look into that again and see if we can try and figure out their methodology and at least ballpark that. In terms of balancing the agendas, we do make every effort to not have overloaded agendas like we did at the last meeting. At the same time, we try to balance that with timely processing of development applications, and particularly the housing project on the last one had some potential timeline and funding constraints, so we wanted to get that in earlier and had made that commitment to them prior to realizing that the date Popeyes was going to go back would be that same evening. So we do make every effort we can to not do that to all of us, but we will continue to keep that at the forefront of our thoughts.
Because that's helpful to know, too. If there's some timing issues that are involved, then us as a planning commission and the chair, we can reorganize the agenda, maybe put that one first on the agenda if there's definitely a timing issue that has to be addressed and not be so stressed out at the end of the night going, are we having to make a decision here tonight without having all the information out on the table?
Certainly. I thought at one point that was in the staff report, so we'll circle back and see if that was removed
from the staff report or not.
So if you can let us know in the future if there is a timing issue that,
certainly.
Oh, you need to hear from Planning Commission tonight about this, maybe we'll readjust the agenda ourselves.
Certainly.
I would say that estimating time for a particular agenda item would be like us estimating how long it's going to be till you get to your table at a restaurant. It is an absolute guess. Because controlling how long somebody takes to eat their dessert or whether they're going to talk, it's just, there's so many things out of your control when you think about it. Just like here, you know, control how many people are going to show up to talk. We're just guessing. But it's worth doing. It's not that it's not worth trying, but, it, you know, you'd probably be the one that would get it held over. You said it was going to take 45 minutes. And we wouldn't do that to you.
Well, of course not.
Well, I think that's kind of a heads up, too. This is all the time that you have, so let's kind of keep it short and not.
It could act
comments.
As a like a governor,
yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Guide.
Yeah.
But as it was, that project didn't get approved anyway and got held over, so it may as well have come tonight where we had time, and it may not have gotten continued to another day.
Certainly.
Do we have a determined date on that yet?
I think we said March 6th.
It's
March
6th.
March.
Yes.
They haven't postponed it again. I mean, we did that with Popeyes, had a determined date. And
correct. No, my understanding is that March 6th would be the March 6th would be the next meeting date for that project.
Are they making revisions to that project versus what we saw at the last hearing?
My understanding is yes. However, I'll refrain from commenting on that further.
So we're going to be looking at a whole new.
Yeah, we have to be careful not to start discussing a non-agendized item on here that is agendized for a future meeting. Part of it is the challenge between continuing an item to a date certain versus a date uncertain and how that has an impact. Part of it has to do with how many people from the public come in to speak. We had an item a couple months ago where it was not even a public hearing item that we opened up to a public hearing. And that evening, fortunately, it was not an overloaded agenda, but we spent well over 30 minutes listening to the public on a non-public hearing item, so there's sometimes we don't have a lot of control on what the public is going to bring to us, but I think those are points, you know, well taken by staff.
And we do, we take the feedback that we get from the community into consideration when we're kind of estimating how long we think, how big a project is, and the last meeting was a perfect example where one project, we had significant public comment prior to the meeting. We knew it was going to be a long item. The other project, we hadn't heard from the public at all, and yet there were a number of them that showed up and spoke. So, yeah, there's definitely different dynamics, but I'll investigate further in how do they do their estimations.
And one more question, if I may, trying to address, was it Edward Crox who came to the mic?
Cox.
Cox. Yes. In general, when there's traffic issues that are developing or becoming more severe at intersections, or we need to look at requeuing or retiming of lights or installing a light, I know that certain projects are paying their fair share towards a solution. At what time does that straw, if you will, break the camel's back, saying, okay, we need to do it now, and is that end up being a public forum like this? Does that project come before us to say, yeah, that's the solution we're going to do at this time?
Great question. I'm going to give you my favorite answer as a planner, which is it depends. it does depend on a number of different factors. Sometimes neighborhood circulation issues arise. Out in this instance, I believe some of the work that SoCalGas has been doing on their pipeline replacement project in the area, along with the medical office building construction, has made things a little bit more congested at certain periods. It really depends on the situation. I did walk over there and hand the folks my card to contact me, and I could at least get them to the right people. Typically, those kinds of issues, we do request that the public make those directly to our engineering division staff, our city engineer, Robin Dickerson. She can at least address whether, yes, we're looking into that now, or oh, that's a new item, and can work through the municipal code in terms of whose purview is this under? Is it under her purview? Is it the Traffic Commission, Planning Commission, Council, and kind of work with them through that? The other thing for those at home who are listening and for you folks as you're out and about talking to people. We do have our neighborhood traffic calming guidelines, which were adopted by council. That is something that I'll be referring those folks to. That sets up the different level of and avenues taken when you have, you believe you have a neighborhood traffic circulation issue. There's outlines and guidelines and procedures to follow in there.
That's great information, because I hope that it's just not complaint-driven, waiting for someone to get hurt or a bunch of people complaining before we actually do something. But hearing that those guidelines are in place, that's a great step.
Correct. Always try and be proactive, not reactive.
Absolutely.
When those condos or townhouses or whatever they're calling them were approved, wasn't there a discussion about a signalization on that corner?
I don't recall when those that specific project. I don't recall, and I not being on the agenda,
I don't recall
caution against discussing that specific item right. Further. But
I was just curious if that would carry over onto the next project.
Okay, unless there's other business for us to attend to, I hereby adjourn this meeting. Thank you.